Yo, what up? It's Artemis. Right now, you listen to the Hip Hop Digest Show with Kurt G, King Killer, and the homie Egregio. Look, man, they keep it real on this shit. Y'all listen to it. Fuck with 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 it.
We fight every night. Now that's not kosher. I reminisce with bliss for when we was closer and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like a 10, so immature. I try to concentrate on a cure and keep looking at the front door, thinking if I were to evacuate, you'd probably be straighter than straight and wouldn't have so much hate, because you don't know the pain I feel when I see you smiling. And when I roll up, you start wilding. So I front like everything's hunky-dory, but it's a whole different story. Story, 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 story.
My nigga.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Doc. Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Color, and I was not ready for that.
Yeah, we had that one in the pocket. You know that.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Hip Hop Digest Sing Along brought to you this week by E Color, singing the main source record, Looking at the Front Door.
Off the Breaking Adams album.
No doubt. Yeah. It's like one of our, or at least mine, I know Swerve has talked about that. It's like one of our life's records.
That's
soundtrack.
That's a soundtrack for damn near any man when their girl is getting on their nerves.
So,
and then a chair with a stare set to sprint.
Yo, sweetheart, you better get the hint. So yeah. Anyway, yes, sir. Yo, the Hip Hop Digest sing along. See, I told y'all that was a good thing, and we got sing along.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back,
I'm
nigga.
Sick.
Nah, B. I'm just saying. Y'all want to give a shout out to everybody who listens to the Digest because we got sing along stacked up.
Yeah, shout out to Bagari Black. Damn, nigga.
Yeah, he sent an EP.
Yeah, he did. But so keep them coming.
Yo, exactly. Keep them coming and whatnot. So, you know, every now and then we're going to drop that jewels on you. You know, thank you, E Color. And before we get in, we're going to state some other business. Yo, I love 45 Fridays.
We're going to have to nickname you the 45 King.
No. That's DJ Q. But I'm trying to tell you, man, 45 Fridays is absolutely awesome. Everybody was in this week. DJ Q was in. Of course, Swerve was in. Diff got in, you know. T-Bear, 183. I believe Bagari Black was in. I mean, it's, yo, 45 Fridays is absolutely a monster.
Y'all gonna have niggas out here digging in the crates again, going out here looking for records and shit.
Hey, man, whatever. I'm just saying, yo, that's just a wonderful thing, yo. And the thing about it, that that's hip-hop. That's pure hip-hop, good, clean fun, no bullshitting, no horse shit. You get the 45s, you throw it on. Yo, son, when you threw on that Mantronics, yo, I was like, yo.
Oh my goodness.
No doubt. So, yes, 45 Fridays is certified, no doubt. Yep. And again, 12-inch Wednesdays, you know what I'm saying? Everybody going to do, we're going to pick up the pace on the 12-inch Wednesdays as well.
Oh, I see somebody had posted, I forgot who that was, they posted 12 inches, but just the cover.
Yeah, I can't remember right now.
Yeah, who that was, but I know the niggas was like, you violating or something.
Oh, wow, I missed that.
I had to call him out.
I missed that. So somebody post some covers?
Because he said it's on his phone, so he's digital.
Oh.
So he don't have the he don't have wheels.
Oh.
So since he ain't got the wheels, he's just playing what he's got on his phone.
Oh, B, on the text chain, niggas is holding a hard line.
Yeah, he got called out at the plate.
So
I just, it is what it is. It wasn't personal. It was business.
All right, no doubt. So, all right, y'all ready to get in?
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
All right, first topic on the Hip Hop Digest is a retraction. And I knew it was going to happen after last. I didn't know it was going to happen. But let me give you the background. Usually when I'm getting the topics, and this is what happens, Kurt G comes in, I'm trying to get the topics together, and I'll get a topic with something that's open-ended, and then Kurt G will be like, yo, nigga, you better go and check that shit, or you'll be next week on the show having to do a retraction. I'm doing a retraction. I want to apologize to that nigga on that Wu-Tang hook. I thought he was a white chick, fucking twerking. The names were so similar, and I seen her the first thing pop up on a rap site, and I just ran with it. I was like, oh, that's that Wu-Tang shit, but it wasn't.
Oh, you got caught on the treadmill, nigga.
Yes. Yes.
Out here running in place.
Exactly.
Some treadmill gifs and videos.
Oh, ain't no question about that. I was that motherfucker running on the treadmill, and then the cat who fall on his face.
Yeah. got shot back about 50 feet.
Yeah, that was me. I want to give a retraction on that and an apology. The hook is still whack, though, no matter what.
And see, that's what makes the Hip Hop Digest show different. He's accepted that and still stands by his word.
So somebody else sang that trash-ass hook.
It don't matter. Right. It's still whack. And speaking of whackness, boy, I tell you what, that Wu's been getting a business off that EP too, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Shout out to Daisha Wu. She's in the group now.
Yes, yes.
Our baby sister's down with it.
Yes, our baby sister's finally made it to the text chain. I'm so happy about that. No doubt.
They're creative on there. They was on the guardrail, though, B.
But yeah, creative got him another Super Wu fan.
Yeah, they was trying to support their team, but it was hard to support that EP.
Right, no doubt. So, anyway, but I got all the episodes later on this weekend. I'm going to get around to watching the entire Wu documentary. I still haven't seen it yet, but I got all them joints, so I'm good. So
that's the plan.
That's what's good. All right, let's just jump in real talk. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Luke Skywalker, also known as Uncle Luke, or his government name, Luther Campbell, blamed social media for the wave of violence plaguing young hip-hoppers. Uncle Luke thinks the new generation of rappers have upped the level of violence, and it's because of social media. So social media is fueling the violence among the new generation of rappers and their fans. He cites Takahashi facing 30 years in prison for a variety of RICO crimes filmed and displayed on IG. Is Luke sounding like an old man? Or I guess he is. I mean, but does he have a point, though?
He has an absolute point. He is not lying in his statement at all. That is the culture that we live in now.
Boy, I tell you, that IG, all that pull-up culture, boy, that is so 100 and real to the youth. I mean, I look at that shit as like a fucking, like a cricket. I spray that shit and get it off my patio, yo. I mean, it's...
But you're double the age of these people that's in that shit, though, B.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We are double their age. And that is not our culture, but that is their culture. The most shit you can do online, all news is good news in social media.
Wow, that's funny, yo. I see some headlines, and I barely even know what that shit means, where they mean that rapper Y or X, it doesn't matter who, but it's usually a young bo. What do they mean by sliding in so-and-so's DMs? I mean, what the fuck is that, yo?
It's a personal message on the side that nobody can see but you and that person.
Okay. So let's say you got some young ladies out there. I'm going to try and clean up that broad talk.
Thank you, sir.
And say if you got some young ladies out there and a rapper, so if he slides a DM, that means he's sending her a private message without the regular Joe knowing about that. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. That's what that would be.
All right. So if he's sliding a private message, then how does that make headlines?
Because it ain't really private.
Oh my God.
One or the other party done told the story.
Oh my God.
They said, yo, such and such is sliding in my DM.
Oh my God, yo.
So the privacy is... but it automatically goes back to... these. There ain't no privacy with these niggas, yo. Everything, they got to put it all out there. Everything has to be out on Front Street.
Oh, my God.
Every fucking thing. And I'm just not giving these niggas no fucking passes, my nigga. I just not, son. This shit that they doing, yo, you got to take responsibility for being a dumbass. If you're going to indict your fucking self, you're going to put all your business right up on Front Street, talk about it, all the guns you got, talk about all the shit you doing, all the drugs and shit you selling, talk about all this shit, and you're going to put it on Front Street and put a camera on in your face and tape this shit? Nigga, you deserve whatever fucking punishment you get. What? You're a dumbass. What? You putting your shit on Front Street, so you deserve to get fucking hammered.
Well, I want
to
go.
And I co-sign.
Okay, and I do as well, but I'm going to get beyond, you know, any crimes committed on social media. But just back to this whole thing about some of the language, or again, Kerji was, why you stepped out for a minute, son. Kerji was telling me about the whole DM shit and the private message, and I had said to him, well, if it's supposed to be a private message, how come we're seeing it, you know? Or you see,
you don't see it.
No, but it'll be a headline on a rap site, rapper.
Oh, gotcha. Right. It's also, it's pop culture as well. You know what I'm saying? It's pop culture, so people know about it, so they talk about it. Be like, oh, you sliding them DMs, though? Or whatever. It's just,
oh my God, pop culture.
It happens. It's real.
But that's how we got to that conversation, because I said it can't be private because one of the other party done told.
Right.
Somebody slid in their DM.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Or screenshot it. That's the
right
thing. Screenshot
exactly. That, see, that's another thing, y'all niggas, dumbass niggas. You going to text somebody some shit, they can fucking screenshot and save on your ass? Yeah. Is you fucking crazy? Yeah.
So anyway, but Luke is saying it's social media. But one of the things that he said I thought wrong and disturbing. He says that basically social media is going to have to be regulated. You know,
be careful with that.
I mean,
you can't regulate it.
I think the only thing you can do is, like, if you have children involved in that activity, you can regulate that type of shit.
If you can regulate as best you can. But they're going to do what everybody else is doing, B.
No, I get it. But how about, you know, you confiscating the phone?
You could do that.
That type of thing.
But then you're public enemy number one then. I mean, this was like years ago. I mean, how many years? My son is going to be 30 this year.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
no doubt.
He's going to be 30 this year. And he was 16 at the time. I took his phone from him because him and his girl was wilding, and I was like, get the fuck out of here, give me the phone. So I took his phone from him. The nigga got fucking pissed and punched a hole through the wall, the kitchen wall. It's still there. You'll see it. I'll show you the patch when you come over to the crib from Daddy King.
Oh my God.
I'll show you the shit.
That couldn't have gone well.
You know me.
That's what I'm saying. That couldn't have gone well.
So the nigga punched a hole in the wall, and then he went up to his room. So I punched a hole through the door and went in his room.
Ooh, Lord.
and the argument went from there. But just to say, he went off because I took his phone and punched a hole in the fucking wall for taking his phone. And that was fucking way back, damn near 15 years ago. So just think about it. Now, your kid might fucking get the gun and shoot you. You take their fucking phone from him.
Wow, yeah.
Man.
That's pretty amazing. So
you got to take the charger.
They could just get another charger or borrow one from their friend.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right, Uncle Luke, shout out to you, or Luther Campbell, shout out to you. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the Ghetto Boys canceled tour. That was quick.
Yep.
Bushwick Bill pulls out the night before the first show. Apparently, Bushwick was upset because he said it was the promoters. First of all, he didn't like the name, The Long Goodbye. He said he thought that they were trying to make a fast buck on his illness and his cancer diagnosis. Additionally, he felt he said it was too dramatic, and he wanted to get a different type of tour going. And so he basically pulled out of the tour, and Willie D and, you know, Scarface just followed suit on that. There is no Long Goodbye tour. And you know what? And it was only 4 dates. But only thing, shout out to Bushwick Bill. It's more of an announcement. Maybe I think you should take this time, you know, and concentrate on your health and fall back and be with your family. You know, I mean, that's just armchair, you know, shout to you. You know what I'm saying? I would have liked to seen those cats, but it looks like it's not going to happen. That's unfortunate. Still, the whole Bushwick cancer diagnosis is crazy unfortunate.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that he would blame it on the managers or promoters or what have you.
Right.
There's a lot into that story. I mean, unfortunately, as fucked up as this may sound, it was kind of an opportunity to raise money or what have you. You know what I'm saying? That's what it was. Why else would they be going on tour now? They didn't plan to do that before the message of his, you know, situation. So nobody that I know or talked to was looking at it as a bad thing, regardless of whether it was a money grab or whatever. It was an opportunity, like you said, to get to see the Ghetto Boys.
Right. Right.
At this stage.
Yes. You know, yes.
So people we cheered for and been there for the whole time and never got to see them. And that's a little bit selfish, but it was selfish and giving at the same time. Because it's selfish that you want to see it no matter what, but it's also you giving and paying for them tickets that would also put, you know, some financial prosperity for his family, as he mentioned himself.
I don't know about Bushwick Bill's, you know, his money situation as far as that goes. And yes, on my part, I guess it was selfish considering I never got to see the Ghetto Boys, and I figured it was an opportunity for me to see them. Rest in peace to Reddy Red. I mean, you know, it would have been really, really classic for you to got the original four, but of course that can't happen. So I just want to say Godspeed, you know, once again, right. And just, you know, just take care of yourself, Bill.
Damn. That's like I said, that's unfortunate. It really is. And I guess the diagnosis along with the name of the thing, I thought they came up with that name. I didn't know somebody else came up with that name. So I guess that really just, he's emotional right now.
And understandably
emotional. Like you said, when you've been given that death sentence, like, damn, that's, right. You know, fuck. And then you can think somebody's saying, just trying to capitalize off of you about to die. Like, what the fuck? So I understand why he's upset, but like you said, being selfish, you want to see him.
So, indeed. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Trump to Harriet Tubman. Don't get uppity. I got that title from the Los Angeles Times. For those of you who don't know, Harriet Tubman was an ex-slave and abolitionist whose image was selected to bump Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill due after a public, you know, campaign to redesign the bill. The release date was supposed to be next year on the 100th anniversary of the constitutional amendment acknowledging a woman's right to vote. Trump, who is a straight out fucking redneck chicken shit racist, along with his fucking redneck ass lackey fucking back slapping ass licking Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, blocked the bill from coming out. Basically, Trump is like, ain't no niggas gonna be on no money while I'm president of the United States. And basically, that's what it gets down to. And that's what makes you want to punch a motherfucker like Kanye West and Soul Brother number one Tiger Woods squarely in the mouth. I mean, just square up and haul off on niggas like that.
You're quite hostile.
Yeah, this nigga, he's feeling some type of way about that.
Yeah, you know, because real talk, I mean, I was one of the ones who was really looking forward to, you know, I mean, money's just money, yo. You work, you hold it for a minute, you pay it out on bills or whatever. But to actually see Harriet Tubman on that 20, I think would have been special for all African Americans. You know, just as a symbol, of like, you know, yeah, damn, we got a stake in this country too. You know what I'm saying? We love our country too. Nah, I'm don't thinking, get uppity, niggas.
Yeah, no doubt. I think there might have been in a case of, and I still could be wrong, but in a case of Donald Trump or something like that, his peoples probably would have been easier to get Martin Luther King Jr. on there. It's hard to hate. You know what I'm saying? They could find a negative in Harriet Tubman and her actions and all that kind of.
I know what you're saying. Look, and those of you who don't know, you know, Harriet Tubman, you know, it was handling her business, okay, and taking.
Yeah, that's like somebody saying put Nat Turner on a 20.
I don't know, B. Nat Turner, I think, is a different situation. You think Harriet Tubman and Nat Turner got some symmetry?
Maybe she didn't go through barn to barn killing white folks, but Harriet Tubman handled some business.
Oh, ain't no doubt about that. Tell it. Yes. Yes.
So maybe that side sees that side of Harriet Tubman and is like, fuck that.
Trump is one of them super, super billionaire niggas. So, you know, they 1%, they know about the bloodlines and know all about that shit. So they understand about how this shit gets down and how everything started.
It's a fucking ignoramus, okay? He doesn't understand shit. This ain't nothing but a good old-fashioned dog whistle. And if I could bust out my southern voice to all you red state fucks. This ain't nothing but a dog whistle and a signal to all of you people. You know, Trump, I'm voting against my own interest. I'm a working class white person, but at least I'm white. That's what we got going on here.
I refuse to name this show Red State Fucks.
Welcome to the Red State Digest.
Nah, B, I'm just saying, man, there's no reason other than good old-fashioned dog whistle politics that he's doing this, okay? Because, first of all, Trump doesn't know anything about fucking Harriet Tubman, okay? And like I said, everybody else who's supporting that shit in his cabinet along with the Treasury Secretary and shit, fuck them niggas. Mm.
And he means that.
Oh, yeah, he definitely means that. So. Killer's a little bit emotional right now.
Nah, I'm just putting the facts out there, yo.
But you added some extra, what you call them, superlatives to that shit?
Superlatives?
Superlatives. You call that nigga some other names, along with Steve Mnuchin. Like, this nigga like, damn, how'd I get dragged into this shit?
Yo, man. Shit, you got dragged into this by doing things you ain't had no business doing, like licking his ass. But
damn,
let's move on, yo. This topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Let the Veterans In.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we haven't had a Let the Veterans In. Now, I just saw this, and because of the names involved, I got to think that it's good music. J Period releases the Rise Up project featuring Black Thought, Dead Prez, De La Soul's Pasta Noose, Rhyme Fest, and many others. The 10-track project is out currently. After the show, I'm going to listen to it. I got to think it's good. And by the title, The Rise Up Project, I got to think that they are on some political resist shit.
So I might have to pump the brakes on this shit.
Oh, fuck.
Because you ain't listened to it.
So I did not.
So we need to listen to it first, and then we can talk about it next week.
Oh, well, we'll talk about it next week, but that is Let the Veterans In. I'm announcing the album, but look, maybe I get caught out there like the Wu, you know what I'm saying? I don't think so, yo.
There's too many cats in there that's just straight lyrical and can spit, and that, like you said, it's called Rise Up. So I can hear them probably talking about some of that type of shit. Maybe even talking about some of the shit that you was just talking about.
Right.
So, but anyway, J Period, yo, the Rise Up project on Let the Veterans In. We haven't listened to it yet, but so we can't give a Hip Hop Digest percentage on that or any of the usual tools or whatever.
We know better.
Yeah, I'm not getting caught out there, B.
Okay.
No, listen first.
We're going to listen, even if it got Black Thought on it.
Oh, shit.
Because The Roots got an album that they shouldn't have put out, too.
Yeah.
Really? You think? Okay, we can talk about that later. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Lil' Kim reunites with Junior Mafia for Biggie's birthday. Also, she announces a new album. I didn't even research any new album from Lil' Kim because I can't imagine that she's going to be involved in anything good musically. But what
or
I do want
to...
Yeah, she's looking pretty bad these days.
She just done tore herself up.
Yeah, she did. That's unfortunate. Again, it's been about 25 years since they have all gotten together to celebrating what would have been Biggie's 47th birthday. It's interesting. What do you think about Junior Mafia as a collective? I remember buying that record, and I just remember, you know, how cute I thought the original Kimberly Jones was. Sort of like a Roundaway girl, you know, cute. Of course, we already, history tells us about the hijinks between her and Biggie, you know what I'm saying, and Lil C's and all them other guys on the Junior Mafia. You know, were they Biggie's, were they equivalent to, who are some niggas that Nas used to fuck with on Uchiwali and shit, Bravehearts? Were they, were they the equivalent to, or were they Biggie's Bravehearts in a way?
Wow. Did you see C's album when it came out?
Yeah, I actually,
I thought
I may even have that CD somewhere.
The Junior Mafia album itself, the beats selection was pretty good. I like the beat selection. I did like the tracks on there, but other than Kim, I couldn't say that I liked anybody else's rhyme on there. Kim, of course, Biggie, but and Kim's shit was being written by Biggie.
Right, so I was getting ready to say right.
But I like Kim's voice.
But they faded so quickly.
That's why I said, you know, you had that Braveheart situation. I guess it's kind of sort of, in a way, I don't even know. The Bravehearts, did they put out an LP?
I don't even know.
I just remember the Uchiwali joint. I remember you was loving that joint.
B, I still like Uchiwali.
That track was so whack to me, B.
B, that
I just did not like that shit.
That Uchiwali beat is hard as shit.
Nigga. That track was so whack to me, B.
That one instrument or whatever the fuck it is.
That flute shit right there. You know what it reminds me of? I feel like your mom at that point when she was talking about Public Enemy with that fucking what was that track?
What it was Public really Enemy the J, right? No, it was JB's "Blow Your Head." Actually, that was the original track.
Yeah,
but my mom busted in the room and was like, "I can't take that squealing."
Yeah,
it was the siren part.
That squealing is constant squealing on the track. But that's what that sounded like to me. That Uchiwali beat with that flute too, shit just whining. I'm like, where the fuck is the Cobra coming out the basket?
Wow.
Get his ass the fuck out of here.
Wow, nigga.
And then
without Nas, that, it was dope, but that just was irritating.
Nas, everybody pretty much did brought their C game on lyrics.
Wow. Mm. I'm not saying Uchiwali I'm just saying just the sonics of the track, including the looped flute, but that kick and snare is so hard. I love that
joint.
You ain't got it.
That shit. You liked it. It's okay.
And it's going there's going to be quite a few people in the chain that's going to be on your side. That's going to probably be like, yeah, I like that shit too.
Yeah, no
but
doubt.
I wasn't fucking with it.
No doubt. All right, that's what's good. Yo, and as far as Kim, like I said, I didn't research the new album.
She would be rapping about now.
It ain't even about what she rhyming about, but to see Lil' Kim coming in with quasi trap beats, trying to, you know, show that she's hip, you know,
she's, would you call her legacy? Does she just need to be out performing her old joints?
Well, she has old joints to perform. Yes.
She has albums under her belt.
Right. But as far as a legacy group, see, the problem with that, without Biggie, that whole glue, the thing doesn't work. You know, I mean, I'm glad they got together, you know what I'm saying, and squash beef together. There was some real bad blood there. That was that up at Hot 97 shooting at niggas type shit. You know what I mean? That was some real hard beef, you know, that they was able to squash that and be able to get back together. But without Smalls, you know, nah, that's a wrap.
See what happened.
So that's what's up. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest is YouTubers and record labels are still fighting, and record labels keep winning. This story was an interesting story. It's a gentleman by the name of Glenn Fricker who posted a video and had 600,000 views it's about 5 years and 600,000 views. Okay, that was pulled because YouTube notified him that Warner Music Group said that you're violating our copyrights. Now, it was only a 15-second clip, and it had Iron Maiden. He's a engineer and a professional, and he was using Iron Maiden to show tricks, studio tricks. He's a professional. He works in the industry. He's posting a how-to. This is how you do XYZ. So he threw up an Iron Maiden joint. and they took it down. And this is more to your expertise here. And it basically says because of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, okay, people are A number one. There's two things here. They're getting their video yanked. But any revenue they may have garnered from that video is also getting yanked. And YouTube announced that it had surpassed $3 billion in total payouts to the record industry. It doesn't matter if you got a five-year-old up there mimicking and doing, you know, to her favorite pop song, or this audio professional just basically throwing up educational tips. The record industry is gobbling all the fucking money. And two, to add more sugar to the Kool-Aid, the artists themselves, i.e. a type of cat like Pharrell, who is having like fucking 5 million views and getting a check for $2,000. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Swerve, yep. You worked down to RIAA.
I did.
Recording Industry of America.
Yes, sir.
Can you talk about the wanton greed from the labels and their mindset?
I'm going to go all the way back to Napster on that. When I saw with my own eyes certain attorneys just fucking giddy for being able to crack that code to get into people's computers to see who's downloading shit. Giddy because they got some grandma whose grandkid had downloaded some shit on her fucking computer. This shit is ridiculous, B. They want every fucking penny that they can get from... I mean, if anybody should be mad, it should be the artists, but that's a whole different situation. For these gigantic advertisers that I call, you know, the whole record industry is a bunch of advertisers because they don't make the clothes. They don't do none of that. They just advertise. And the artists get caught up in that shit. And... you know, as we've seen over and over and over through the years, artists sign up these dumbass contracts and the industry continues to get money and find other ways to get money. Instead of working with these new medias, they try to be like, fuck it. We don't even want you to exist. Hence Napster. It still didn't go away. It just became a money thing. So the industry is always going to be about money, yo.
I find it pretty interesting, boy, the RIAA going so far back. I remember when you first brang over to the crib that Diamond Rio MP3 player. I think the joint literally was like 25 megabytes, you know, of joint you could, and how the RIAA was like, that player is illegal.
Right. Yep. The dumbasses went after the player and lost.
Yes.
That was the one that they lost. But that again shows you the greed. They're like, nah, fuck that. We don't want you playing our shit on that thing.
It's actually pretty amazing. There's no other industries. I'm sure there's some industries out there who are getting over like that. But the record industry is quite adept. I mean, if this was telecoms, you know, like Sprint and T-Mobile can't merge because they're like, nah, fuck that. It's too much of a monopoly. There's only four of y'all as far as cell phone providers anyway, unless you start doing that Walmart prepaid plan, and then even then they're riding on the big boys network. But fuck, I mean, the record industry and YouTube and everybody else involved is just fucking raking in the fucking dough. And you know, unfettered. They're printing money.
But they fucking folks over. But like you said, they're just glorified advertisers.
Exactly.
And it's like the artist still hasn't seen through that yet. It's like, nigga, you do all the work. You do every fucking thing. And only thing they do is advertise for you.
That you know what's a good analogy? I'm sorry. I just got a quick analogy. It's like Macy's. Macy's don't make shit. But in there they got Polo. They got whatever, all these different brands they sell in there and sell it at a high fucking price. And then they probably, the people like the Polos and whatever other name brands are in there, they just probably get a fucking percentage. Because I'm sure that they have their own stores, but to be in Macy's, and so the music industry is kind of like the same shit as that. They don't make shit.
Damn niggas ain't an executive, ain't making no fucking music. not doing any fucking thing, sitting there collecting the check off your money. Now it's 360 deals, so they eating off your ass all the way around.
So I want to segue into the next topic, and this is just more of an industry topic. Your boy Garth Brooks has sold 1 million vinyl records on a pre-order. Yeah, of course, you know, Garth Brooks is pretty famous, and his fans are supporting him mightily. You know, 1 million records. Okay, we're not talking about none of this new math shit. 1 million records on the pre-order. Physicals, you know.
That's because it's going to be like, that's because all his fans is 60 plus.
Maybe. I don't know about that. What I'm saying is that if you're a new artist, I guess you're stuck. Okay, now think about this. If you're an artist, let's say in the 90s, and you wanted to blow, you may have had a chance independently if the record was super hot or whatever. One of the people I think about was like Tracy Lee. Okay, he had one hit record, and that record did start out just pressed up by, you know, they did it dolo out the trunk. It ended up on a major, and he ended up getting paid, I'm sure. But you don't have that now. You have no other choice but the Spotify or YouTube, you know, Bandcamp. But, you know, nobody really is paying it. Some people are paying attention to Bandcamp, but it's usually like a YouTube. You know, so you don't have no other choice but to fuck with that. You know, the record industry is very adept, and very little has changed. Actually, the record industry has ended up on top after others were saying this is going to be total freedom for the artists. Not really. Because
well, they figured out a way to get in.
Indeed.
Dude. They figured out a way to get around all the bullshit and continue to fuck people over.
Indeed. So
I'm telling you, yo, if these artists really read their contracts, yo, I doubt that there would be a music industry the way it is now.
You know what I say? There still would be a music industry the way it is now. Because just because people's eyes gloss over when they walk in and see plaques and they think about all the artists that they love and all the people, their music they grew up on, and they're looking around and they're seeing pictures of Gladys Knight and whoever else on the wall, and you're like, well, damn, I could be one of those people. Oh, damn, Beyonce was signed here? Oh, shit, I could be that. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter that their contract says, nigga, you ain't going to get but 2 pennies for every fucking 150 records you sell. You know what I'm saying? They don't care. All they thinking about is being famous.
So can I do can I put you in that position? I'm gonna put you guys in that. Yeah, you and Kerr G. I'm gonna put you in that position. CBS Radio comes. Okay, this is what we gonna do. Not that they are gonna come to us, but I'm just saying, CBS Radio shows up. Hip Hop Digest. Each of you, $200,000. Here's your check. 4-year deal. You don't get a penny more than the 200 we're gonna pay you now. Any money you make on the side, that's fine. We don't care about that. 200K for the next 4 years, not a penny more. No matter how big your show is, or no matter how low on the ratings it is, that's your 200 thou. Take it or leave it. You in?
If that's the only stipulation, I might do that, but it depends on, again, is that the only stipulation? Because I'm a nigga that's going to read that whole shit.
No, you're going to read the contract, and you're going to find out in reading the contract, if the Hip Hop Digest blows up big, right? You got 200,000, but it blows up big. You like that Joe Rogan shit. You're bringing in fucking millions of dollars in ad revenue.
And see, then that's not being signed.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. See, this is what these kids, most people find themselves in. Okay, here's the money, 200 grand, 500 grand, whatever. Okay, now, if that shit blows heavy, that's our money. We gave you paid already, nigga. Right. Now, if it flops, then, you know, we took a risk and maybe we lost some money. But
you owe us money. That's
right.
The type of shit they do. Yes.
Yeah.
No, you owe us. You didn't recoup, nigga.
Right. So that's the key thing. Yeah, see, that's the key thing, man. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about millions of dollars. I'm talking about something, you know, pretty substantial. $200,000 to working men is a substantial amount of money.
But let me explain something to you that a working man who has an understanding of his value would think. Damn, if they willing to give me 200,000, all of us, each.
Right.
600, if they willing to put 600,000 up, just like that. There is way more to be gotten.
Of course.
That's the first thing.
Right.
That's the first thing. So we gonna negotiate that shit. Right. It's not gonna be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just go ahead and take this $50,000 a year, because that's what it breaks down to.
Exactly.
Right.
Over 4 years.
And
that's,
right.
That's where I'm gonna be looking like, wait a minute, $50,000 for 4 years.
Right. Nigga. Exactly. Now you guys are getting into the spirit here. But I'm just saying. So you know, but cats do that, and that's what it is. And CBS Radio is like, ah, fuck that, not a penny more. Either you take it, or we're gonna sign the next cats. So.
Well, that should show that person that there is value. So even if you have to figure it out for yourself, you should already know there's somebody thinking that you are a breadwinner.
And so while we're turning down that deal, and the next cat is saying, "Ah, fuck that, I took the $200,000. This is a platform I'm gonna build. Fuck that."
Mm-hmm. And they got their $200,000. Whoever signed them is making millions.
Right, no doubt.
They better make sure them when they decide to roll out that they ain't taking their name with them.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Again, like you said, cats don't read it. So exactly, you for that $200,000, you could be signing your whole shit and giving it away, no doubt. So
would you like my soul as well?
Indeed,
you have the soul of my shoes, nigga.
Indeed. So. Let's get into the next topic on Hip Hop Digest. Kurt G, bear with me, son.
Okay, all right.
Bear with me, son.
I don't know if I like the way this sounds.
Nah, because, you know, I know how you don't like talking about the same nigga week after week. But in this case...
Oh, my God.
In this case, you're gonna end up supporting your boy, Lil Nas X.
Oh, boy.
Bear with me.
You're going to have to make this topic real fresh for me, B.
Okay. Your boy Lil Nas X signed that Wrangler deal, and white folks just went off. Or I should say, certain type of white folks who wear Wranglers.
Some of Trump supporters?
A lot of red state motherfuckers. They went off. They didn't like the deal. They was like, well, nah, fuck this. First of all, he ain't country. Now you got, you know, my favorite brand, Wranglers, involved with this nigga. You know, that nigga's wearing cowboy hats and shit, but it ain't that, but it's about Wranglers. Now, should we offer support to your boy Lil Nas X, who's making the most of his you know, his fame and his record? Got a deal on the table with Wranglers, and white folks is pissed. Swerve, what do we do about that? Yo, the nigga, now, you know, you gotta support that cat.
I don't gotta support shit.
Word?
I don't give a fuck. As I said, and will continue to say, good for him and every penny he makes from this shit. And congratulations to Wrangler for saying, fuck it, we gonna get a piece of that. And I ain't mad at them people that's not with it. Because when them folks ain't with it, they ain't with it. So may the chips fall where they may. If that young man gets bread off of this, good for him. If Wrangler takes a small beating in there... Wrangler shit, as you said, niggas wearing cowboy hats and Wranglers and boots and shit. So they're gonna get money, one way or the other.
It
don't matter to me, yo.
G, we gotta support him, right, G?
You know what, B? Fuck it. I feel like your boy. What was that nigga Urkel? I'm wearing you down. I'm wearing you down.
Oh, shit.
So you're wearing me down.
Damn.
So, okay, I'll support this. I support the fact that he's actually went out, and not only is he just pumping the hell out of this song, he's actually trying to get some extra bread on the side.
Hell yeah, what's
so
wrong
he's,
with that?
He's doing some. No, this is long bread. This is thinking long. You're going to stretch this 15 minutes. You might as well go ahead and make an hour out of this shit. So he's going to get that money from Wrangler. And Wrangler says, you know what? Fuck it, let's do this deal. And them niggas that you talking about, them string 'em high niggas, they ain't fucking with it because they love their music. But why the fuck is you coming at this guy so hard? Why do you care about Lil Nas X?
Because he's black.
He's not.
He's a culture vulture.
Well, that, you can say that. But. Why are you coming at him?
Because he's black.
If you want to go at somebody extra hard, go at Wrangler extra hard.
Affleck.
Go after Wrangler extra hard and see if you can get them to snatch their support from that nigga. Because that's the only people they should be going at. going at Lil Nas X for trying to make some bread on the side, that's the bullshit.
Well, going at him's not going to be effective. Anyway, he's signing a contract, getting money. What is wrong with that? If, like you said, if they want to go at somebody, they're going to go at, they should go at Wrangler, which I'm not saying they should or should not, but if that's what they want to do, then they need to be going on that side because he's getting bread.
And he's getting bread, and apparently he's got bread. That motherfucker bought Billy Ray Cyrus a fucking Maserati and shit, yo. Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's wasted bread.
Right. Yeah.
Billy Ray could buy his own fucking Maserati.
I know, right?
He'd rather get a Ford F-250.
Fuck out of here, nigga.
Yeah, I know, right?
Spending that kind of bread on that nigga. You're going to be wishing you had that shit back when you're 50. You'd be like, damn, I just wasted bread. Look at Billy.
Yo, can I hold them keys, man?
Oh, shit. So that's what's up, yo. So, yeah, man, I'm just saying, man, when it comes down to that shit, yo, that Red State shit lining up against your boy, yo, I'm throwing my support in on your boy and shit. That's all.
So let me throw that back at you then. Would you be supporting that? What if it was hip hop and we had somebody doing that and some hip hop appropriated business that we love says, oh, I'm signing some shit for that
nigga. You don't want me to sit here and run through the numerous people, companies, and products that are totally just got hip hop out there on the corner turning tricks. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what have we done about it?
And well, I'm saying on the Hip Hop Digest, you know, we talk about that. We occasionally bring that up, but it's
outside of us because we're not the end all be all. But you, as you just said, them Red State MRFers is uniting to get him the fuck out of there.
Well,
how can you be mad with that?
Well, the point I'm saying is that, A, number one, let me say it again, they're only doing it because he's black and Jive loosely associated with rap, I guess. But all that being said, shit, we can't get together and stamp out hip-hop impersonators and hucksters because too many cats out there is sold out any fucking way. Your favorite rapper, your favorite MC, oh nigga, fuck that. I'm just trying to get that bread, nigga. Trying to get that bread, nigga. Or as you say, what them young boys call it? The bag.
Trying to get that bag.
Trying to secure the bag. So, and that to me is the number one commercial rap value any fucking way. Yo, y'all niggas Hip Hop Dodge just turned down that CBS bag. Y'all niggas fucking crazy. Y'all niggas turned down at 200K each. Y'all turned out 600,000 on that CBS bag. Fuck y'all niggas. If they,
nigga,
them
you
niggas
young. You don't understand. But see, 200,000 ain't lasting you.
But see, that's again, that goes to the fact that of a different type of mindset. When you're in the mindset of thinking, oh, I got $200,000, bam. I'm going to go out and buy this fucking Maserati or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? What the... You going to spend all your money on that or a fucking
number
watch?
Number one.
You know what I'm saying? You going to spend all your money on a fucking watch? Really, B?
As you said, it breaks down to $50,000 a year, which after taxes, you ain't even getting that. Fuck, I still got to work.
Oh, no. They gonna give you the $200,000. And then you got to
pay...
Your,
yeah, right.
You got to do your own thing.
After taxes, you ain't even getting that.
But most of these niggas ain't even doing taxes.
I got to go.
They just said, fuck it. Yeah. They're going to spend the whole $200K.
You know what I'm saying? But I still got to work.
Right.
That ain't enough money for me to put my feet up on.
Nah. Nigga gave me $200K. I'm still going to have to get up on Monday and go to fucking work.
Right.
Like, okay. Yeah. Okay, this is nice. I can pay a couple bills, but I got to go to work.
Right, but you got to be careful because 200 grand will be gone. Even us old folks.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, now hopefully on future shows, I'll try not to bring your boy up. But I just thought that, you know, we had a lot of different things and dog whistles and red states. And it's the symmetry was, I had to bring it up, B, you know. So that's what's good, yo. All right, here we go. Kurt G's world famous.
All right. This week, we got Scotty Spittin'. Scotty, that's Scotty Spittin', S-C-O-T-T-I-E. And then we got Mathematics, Real Is Him. That's Mathematics, Real Is Him. That one is in my top 10 already. Mm. And then we got instrumental joint is Chill Hop Records, Chill Hop Essentials. That's Chill Hop Records, Chill Hop Essentials.
Oh, that's going to be dope. Chill Hop.
Wasn't Scottie Pippen? Scottie Spittin'.
Scottie Spittin'.
Wasn't he? Scotty Spitten. Wasn't he in HISD?
Yes, I think he was.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Damn, I wish they were still making music.
Oh, my God. Yo, that is...
That album they put out, ridiculous.
That baby. Record
I'm
is...
I'm seeing green.
Oh.
Yeah, man. You got to be seen. Green. Oh, my goodness. And I have one little topic to slide in.
Oh, my man.
Should we put ghostwriting in a coffin and bury it?
As far as, I don't say no. Not as far as when you talk about, when you want to put niggas in your top 10, top 5, no. Mm-hmm. Ghostwriting can't be buried at that point, because them the type of niggas in the top 5, top 10 that you need to know they're authentic, 100%. Now, if you talk about niggas that's just down the line, niggas that's just regular rhymers or regular niggas that you like, okay, he had ghostwriters, all right, he wasn't in my top 10, top 25 anyway.
B, that is generational. Ghostwriting is generational.
We had ghostwriters that I'm finding out more and more every day, yo.
Okay, that's fine. And you're right. Plenty of people have ghostwritten. The guys in people's top 5 have written for other people. I don't care about that, because that is the other MC's reputation. You know, like the Melly Mel writing the Busy Bee track, Suicide. I don't care about that. That's Busy Bee's reputation, you know? So I'm not really caring about that type of shit. But if I'm finding out that D Nice is writing some shit for KRS-One, he's gone.
Ooh.
Okay, so the rule probably is top 10. Nobody in the top 10 could have...
No, generation... This is what I'm saying. A certain ilk. A certain ilk of B-boy... Of true hip hop lover. I'm just talking about our era, a certain ilk. If I find out anyone at any time, things have been ghostwritten, they're gone.
Ghostwritten for them.
For them. They're gone. Okay,
so what is that? Your top 10, top 5, top 50? What?
That would generally be my top 10. That would be in my top 10. Outside of my top 10, yeah, you're going to find some different things and some different, you know, but generally, that's why I said generational. You got a lot of people who like blackface and who it's going to, but there's no way they can't not love blackface, because he's fucking all consuming. And the fact that he's nothing but a fucking huckster and a fucking fraud is irrelevant. You know, that's just generational. Oh, that ghostwriting shit, that they don't understand the essence of hip hop. That's why it's just not hip hop, because they don't even understand the first essence, the true. You know, it's one of the things that cats, when Rappers Delight came out, and a lot of cats was like, who lived in the city, you know, those guys were in Jersey. But a lot of cats who lived in the city was like, them Rappers Delight niggas, first of all, ain't real. Now, shout out to Wonder Mike, you know, and Master G. They say, hey, we always wrote our own lyrics. That was Hank, you know, rest in peace, who was biting a lot of routines from the city. But they never really would give Sugar Hill that hard pass, because they were like, nah, nigga, you not doing this. You not really doing this, you know? So, I'm just saying, it's this ghostwriting shit.
Right. Like I said, if you find somebody in your top 10, you find out that Black Thought, all his lyrics was written by Dice Raw, you like,
he's gone.
Dice Raw wrote all your shit, nigga? Damn.
He's gone.
Dice Raw is now in my top 10.
and the thing about it, and that's the thing, so there's no sacred cows. See, that's the thing. That's why blackface is where he is. Because, see, oh, we love him so much, I just couldn't bear it. You know, fuck that. And that's why his nickname is Blackface. Because unlike the rest of y'all who want to get on Ralph Northam and all these other fools out there, I'm never, ever, ever forgetting that motherfucker is in Painted Lips and Caught.
Damn.
There you go.
Yo, we've already done Kerr G's World Famous Albums of the Week.
I'm sorry, I wanted to get it in there, but it flowed so perfectly.
I'm sorry, don't get me started.
Good thing you didn't bring that up after the Trump talk. He might have went over the edge. I might have had to go ahead and throw him a lifeline.
Real talk, y'all. I've got to get some posters made. I've got to, you know, of a certain cover with a black face on it. I've got to get some posters made.
Better be careful. There might be some kind of prohibition on that shit. Or Kikos or whatever the fuck it is. They'd be like, nah, nigga, we can't print that shit.
Can't print that shit.
I ain't even gonna lie.
You see, he over there, he fucking with them owls, B. You better not do that.
Who? Who?
Have some people show up at your door, nigga.
Who?
Mr. Owl. All right, man, I'm out. Peace. See you next week.
Hey, one.
In this world, it's my family. Might not say it much, but I love them dearly. The beauty of life. Mama told me you could be nice. Wasn't old enough to hold my dick and pee right though. Grandpop's a legend, couldn't see right though. Blind to the sight, never was he blind to the world. Thanks for giving birth to his first little girl. My mom too, if it wasn't for that, I'ma keep on flowing as a matter of fact. Used to watch him at his shows, didn't know how to act. It was me, my moms, Sheree and Mary. Uncle Tim, my Uncle Gary. Taught me the game, put me on the rap shit early. Had the Reebok pumps and my hair was curly. Damn, I sit and reminisce about my life sometimes. Shit is bliss too, like a star shine. Mixed feelings, wanna laugh or cry. Damn, I sit and reminisce about my life sometimes. Shit is bliss too, like a star shine. Mixed feelings, wanna laugh or cry. Life goes on, I can't forget the place I'm from. Aunt Cassandra, no I couldn't forget. Used to line me up, make sure my clothes was fresh, cause the shit gotta match every time I dress. Especially if it's girls that I wanna impress. And gotta pay homage to the soul food thing. Candy yams, collard greens every Thanksgiving. Mac and cheese, cornbread, man, whatever you like. Who would've knew now, I be hitting the mic. But gotta do it for my grandpa, y'all. Soul brother number two, have the world in awe. They cannot fuck with me ever, ball for ball. Little Buster, when I look at the stars. What's the difference between soft and hard? Little Buster, when I look at the stars. That's my grandpa, y'all. Damn, I sit and reminisce about my life sometimes. Shit is bliss too, like a star shine. Mixed feelings, wanna laugh or cry. Damn, I sit and reminisce about my life sometimes. Shit is bliss too, like a star shine. Mixed feelings, wanna laugh or cry. Drink, start a cypher, kick a freestyle. If it wasn't for them days, I wouldn't eat now. Not at all. I remember some nights I was so broke. At 17 became a father, that was no joke. That became the main reason for getting it done. Now my sound major, they sicking me, son. So I created a monster that is unstoppable. They can't fit in my shoes, the Harbor Chronicles. Come on. Yeah.
I know they getting vexed, cause they always trying to figure what I'm dropping next. As I go from limitless to just invincible.
Let's go.
Yeah, expressing myself, the pleasure principle. Next, take it to a level that they never seen. I'ma change my nightmares into a better dream. Do a little every day until it's adding up. Used to practice in the mirror till I'm bad enough. Stood away from the poison, no venom allowed. Even though I hit the loud, kept my head up the clouds. So when I give it to the world, they gon' know the deal. They confident in their hearts that the growth is real. Man, I chill with the legends, even amateurs. I learned killing your goals creates character. So to make it iconic, you gotta craft it. One thing that's for sure.
Don't say I can't have it, cause that just makes you want it.
Mr. Ill and Rusty Jokes, barbarians putting rappers under the earth, the bars bury them. Bought a new mic so my strikes is crispier. Every time you gamble with your life, it's riskier. I have no equal, I'm peerless. When it come to fighting for my people, I'm fearless. Metaphors, jokes, meliorate. Wanna pay for a package, it's a hell of a rate. Shows get torn like a rake, victim clothing. Shutting down shop from open to closing. Promoting the chosen, I knew I was the one. When I caught my first body, they thought I was a gun. Hotter than the sun, got him on the run. Then I caught him and I beat him with the bottom of the gun.
What? Bring it up on your whole spot.
Yeah. Warlord RJ and I'm holding it down. Big bazooka when I'm rolling around. Got a pound of OG Kush to blaze up and blazing the first MC that play toughin'. No bluffin', I'm all bite chomping. Dents in your dome from me all night stomping. Spittin' in the booth, soundin' airtight. I'm indestructible, it really ain't a fair fight.
Your nightmare type, pit to a polar bear bite. Lit to a solar flare sight, fit to a global airstrike. You're hot as the snow, put a stop to your flow like a blood clot. Shoot any rapper dead for a dollar, that's a buckshot. Stay sharp and dark as a knife in the shadows, while your testicles never drop like my Fight Club battles. Ill and rusty, ready to grind like diced up cattle. Disrespectful, killing kids and fucking wives with the rattles, motherfuckers.
What? Bring it up on your whole spot.
Yeah. I mangle a mic like the king of pop surgeon, and I never gave a fuck like the twat of a virgin. There's an art in watching you burn and flaming darts for you vermin. Shark to a sturgeon, I'm a stingray. You're the heart of Steve Irwin. I'm luring composition, barreling, tearing through opposition, tossing rappers out of planes. That's airing out competition. Chop your newborns up, mail them off to the obstetrician. Only time you drop bars in the shower at prison. I'm wishing death on you. Go eat a dick like Jeff Dahmer. A bullet coming back for your head is the best karma. Awake and taking your life with one hand that writes, rocking the cradle that bites. The rap knights of the round table, no fable in printing this game. One and only, kill any other rap with ill in its name. Sickest brain, don't know the half till I'm splitting your frame. The skill I contain, been the illest and still is the same. Father fuckers.
What? Bring it up on your whole spot. Yeah. What? Bring it up on your whole spot. Yeah.
Wake up and begin to thrash, and this passion is non-relaxing. Got questions, you better ask him. The rumors are everlasting, everlasting. Take a breath and be active before you crash and you're landing. And if you're speaking my language, indeed understand it. See, we be the baddest, a beast, I'm a savage. I eat when I manage, succeed in the standards. I need it on average, my people, my status. To me, so it matters, and you can look at us. I shoot through the lattice. every man for himself. Like Brian Ortega coming back for the belt. Anticipated this moment, didn't do for myself. I'd be lying if I said I did with people that dealt. Pride is a word that my family stands by. Thereby, that said, I'm keeping my head high. But not big, yo, dig, I'm feeling a bit live. Letting the beat ride.
Spark this, get it started. Solving artists, all in till I'm thoughtless. Flow regardless, words passing the margin. Y'all cast me in the garden, sharpening tools often. Cast me on the low, but always stay on my toes. Though we never show, but the kids ready to blow. For the flow, with the growth instead of your approach to the goal. Never question it, just do it and know. Manifested into any form, been ready to get it on. Said it's wrong, don't belong, run it till I prove I'm wrong. Heard I would stop, drive, losing the game. For the pain, only gain strength, feeding the flames. Cause it's the LA kid, now living the grown life. Gripping mice, keep it tight, right, killing the hype. Whether heard to preserve word, keep it real gritty. The apps got it locked, hold it down like C-City. Word.
I reminisce with bliss of when we was closer and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like a 10, so immature. I try to concentrate on the cure and keep looking at the front door. Thinking if I were to evacuate, you'd probably be straighter than straight and wouldn't have so much hate. Cause you don't know the pain I feel when I see you smiling. And when I roll up, you start wilding. So I front like everything's hunky-dory. But it's a whole different story. You don't like the fact that I'm me. I don't put on a show when it comes time for you to have company. And your friends don't understand your choice of man. They speak proper while my speech is from a garbage can. But regardless, you shouldn't have to be so raw. I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. Baby, I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. And when you're with your friends, I glide to the side until the spotlight is mine. And never sabotage a good time. But when they're not around, the fights commence. I'm the one you're against, and it doesn't make sense. Cause I'm the one that you claim to love for life. But all I get is gray hairs and strife. And I can play some old stuck-up rapper role. And get foul every time you lose control. But that's not my order of operations. So I should win an award for lots of patience. Cause that's all a fella can have with a girl who's shooting up his world like Shaft. And I don't think that I can take it anymore. I'm looking at the front door. 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 Always tell me how I'm lucky to possess the best looking girl in the whole U.S.
But every time you scream, you blow your finesse. Trying to diss the professor. 24 hours of acting sore. Sometimes I wish you'd come down with lockjaw, so I don't have to take in the breaking. You treat me like a burnt piece of bacon. It seems like just 2 years back when we were bonded and not pierced. But now I keep itching to jet, sitting in a chair just to stare, set to sprint. Yo, sweetheart, you better take a hint. I say it now like I said it before. I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door.